It's the Triple Threat Basketball Podcast 2020 edition, the coronavirus edition, as it turns out, on a night in which we were expected to talk all NBA and lead into the season. And then earlier this afternoon, news hit. The NBA season, as of now, has been suspended. I'm Kentavious DeShondre Dre Brown. We have Chris Cozina out in Chicago, Saul Armoadeli up there in Sacktown. And guys, this is a crazy day. It's been a crazy season, certainly a whirlwind season in terms of 2020 with the tragic death of Kobe Bryant about a month ago. And then now you throw this into the mix. Teams don't know if they're going to keep the season going, what's going to happen in terms of day to day. There's teams being quarantined at an arena as we do this podcast on Wednesday night, March 11th. So, Chris, I'm going to start with you. What do you take out of this as an NBA fan, as a sports fan? Because it just isn't NBA. You're seeing NHL teams playing potentially in empty arenas. March Madness, as of tonight, is still going to happen in empty arenas. This is just one of the weirder, stranger times.
Man, it's such a bummer, Kent, because in reality, for the first time in, I don't know, a decade, this NBA season was really extremely wide open. And yeah, you know, we had our couple of favorites here and there, but there really wasn't a single team that you could pick, sit back and say they're going to for sure win it all, like the Warriors in the past or the Heat or the Lakers or whatever. Like, this was a legit NBA season that I've been very much looking forward to seeing how it was going to play out. And who knows, it still might play out. It probably still will play out, but at what time, I don't know. Hopefully they don't outright cancel it overall. I mean, the thing that's really going to upset me is if this somehow leaks into football season and I lose a football season and an NBA season, then I don't know, my world is just going to be thrown upside down. But it really is such a bummer that it happened today. And especially, like, you're reading the stories the other day about Rudy Gobert, like, going around touching all the microphones, like making jokes about the coronavirus, and he's the asshole that gets it and screws everybody over.
Yeah, how about that tonight, Saul? You have the Jazz, the Thunder game. Gobert's out there, starts to cough. They end up saying, okay, let's try to figure things out. He goes back into the locker room. Next thing you know, he has the virus. The game gets postponed. The teams are being quarantined. Oh, man, this is just one. It's really not one day after another. It's 1 minute after another, 1 hour after another. Well, we're seeing breaking news happen on big stages that, you know, this morning, this afternoon, early this evening, we didn't know these were where things were headed.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely been like every single second something changes. And just to be clear, Gobert was never even in the arena. Just to be clear. But
he started getting the coughs, and then
he was sick. They had tested him for some other things like strep and, you know, random normal crap like that this morning, and that's when they did the test because everything else came back negative. He never went to the arena at all tonight. He was in Oklahoma, but he never left the hotel. But obviously, you know, the 6 degrees of Gobert, like everybody who came in contact with him.
Right.
Yeah, so, see, I have this thing in my head that pregame he's like shaking everybody's hands and chest bumping and shit, and I'm like, oh,
no,
God,
no, no.
It's
he was never there, but like, still, you know, you have to look at every single person he's come into contact with for the past like 2 weeks, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's basically, you know, by everybody transmitting everything, like everybody in the NBA, pretty much. Like, every team that they've played has probably played almost every other team in some way. They had tonight that Pelicans Kings game also got canceled because, well, not, I don't know if it was only because of that, but one of the refs was a ref for the last Jazz game 2 days ago, so they didn't want to play it tonight anymore. And, you know, I get it. It sucks, but I get it.
What about this, guys? How about this? Right now, the league has been suspended temporarily. Is there a way that maybe they take 3 weeks off, a month off, and they either push the season back, so instead of it ending in June, it now ends in July, or maybe they cut the regular season short and then just go right into the playoffs at the normal time if things have been contained? I guess, what would you rather see as a fan? Not as somebody, you know, none of us know really medically exactly where this is going to transpire. But Saul, I'll start with you. Do you think it's smarter for the NBA to be more cautious, probably limit the regular season, the standings will be what they are, and then you get into the playoffs at a normal television schedule? Or do they just maybe shift everything back and you as a fan will get to see 82 games and then the playoffs go into July or maybe early August, worst case, or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, it's tough. I mean, obviously, I'd like to see as much as possible. And like we already said, it's such a like a fluid situation where every second something changes. There's no way to predict what they will do. I know that there's reports that they had already been talking to teams and talking to the arenas about their July schedules in preparation to maybe having to like push things back. So, I mean, I think they're really just taking a wait and see type of approach. I mean, I'd like to see them play it all out. If like 3-4 weeks goes by and, you know, the world hasn't ended yet, like maybe they'll be like, all right, it's safe now. Maybe we play the full rest of the season with no fans. Like that didn't bother me playing without fans. So like, I'd like to see the whole season salvaged if at all possible. But, you know, from a human perspective, it's like, all right, let's just not all die or whatever.
Yeah, well, exactly. But Chris, two questions for you. One is, how does this affect your mock draft schedule this summer? And knowing the fact that when the season ends, you were all in on your mock drafts in preparation for fantasy. And two, has Javier been to his native land recently? And if so, is he quarantined?
Let me first pick up on the question that you asked before that Saul answered. So knowing as little and as much as we do about the coronavirus right now, with the NBA season in our best case, worst case scenario, I feel like this season will not continue until the virus is under control and it's under wraps. And looking at it globally, it's literally just starting now in the United States. And this virus spreads extremely fast and it's very easy transmitted. It transmits very, very easily. So I don't see the NBA season picking up anytime soon. I know the NHL just came out and announced that they haven't made a decision yet, but they might suspend activities as well. This has only been going on in the U.S. for like 2 weeks now, and it started in China at the end of the year, early beginning of this year. So until it's under complete control, the NBA season is not going to pick back up. Best case scenario for me, selfishly, is that the NBA playoffs start exactly the same time that the NFL football season starts, and I have the three best months of sports that you could possibly imagine in the history of human life.
Oh, my God, that is a beautiful thought.
You know, that's where I'm going is best case scenarios. We have it under wraps, you know, middle summer, end of summer, and, you know, we pick up the NBA playoffs in July or August, whatever. Your second question, I already started mock drafting about a week ago. this is going to open up my schedule immensely. But as you guys know, I do have a third little lady coming on the way, so that might put a damper on my mock draft scheduling. Maybe it'll knock back one or two a day. And then actually the third question, Javier actually was in Wuhan, China, and he's no longer with us.
Oh man. So I guess you will have to go searching for a new housemate coming up, and we'll have to see how that goes as the season transpires. And hey, maybe it's Mitchell Trubisky. You're back in Chicago. He might need a job in a couple months anyway. So maybe you get Mitchell Trubisky. You don't want him holding on to the girls because he's probably going to accidentally intercept them in places that you will never find them again. But assuming he can just run household tasks, it might work out.
Or I'll just give them to some other dad that's not me, just wildly overthrow me.
Oh my God. Hey, random thought. You mentioned sort of Chicago sports, but I don't know if you guys saw Fred Hoiberg coaching Nebraska sort of fell ill while on the bench coaching a Big Ten tournament game tonight and had to be taken to the hospital. So that was something they were talking about where they were already going to do March Madness without fans. Now I don't know what college basketball is going to do either.
Yeah, and what's weird about that is I was supposed to be, through work with sports betting, we were going to be in March Madness for almost 2 weeks in Vegas at the MGM Resorts casinos at the sports book. And just within an hour of us getting ready to do this podcast here, the trip has been canceled. As of now, all the conference tournaments starting tomorrow will not have fans in the crowd. And yeah, Hoiberg and Nebraska, they're actually isolating the team at the arena, you know, at the field house there in Indianapolis where the Pacers play. So this is just, as we said just 10 minutes ago, this is one story after another. It's second by second, minute by minute, that you're seeing all this stuff transpire. I do agree, though, as a whole, these leagues just need to be able to say, until things get resolved, let's not do much. There's no reason
Correct.
For the NBA, and frankly, the NFL draft's coming up. They're going to do it at the Bellagio in April. They were supposed to have the water there with all the stuff happening. That might not happen as planned. All these leagues need to do what's best for everybody involved, and that's not just the players on the teams, the coaches on the team. That's the staff members. That's the employees that are in these arenas, that work the concession stands, the vendors, the ushers, the ticket takers. It's just everybody involved. This is not just as simple as fans of a team, players on a team, coaches on a team. This is a wide array of people that end up being part of these events. So, you know, marathons are being canceled, St. Patrick's Day parades. This is just a very, very, very weird time.
I mean, Kent, they're talking about canceling WrestleMania, for Christ's sake.
Well, I don't know. If anybody's going to go through with it, Vince McMahon will be the last one to pull the plug. McMahon's gonna wait till the governor of Florida actually faces him one on one, hits him with a steel chair, and pins him 1-2-3. A, so he gets the ratings of that happening, and then B, so he can then say we're not having this. I think McMahon will do whatever he can to have that work. But yes, it does seem like even WrestleMania. I know it's not on Saul's periphery the way it is with Chris and I, but if they cancel 90,000 or 80,000 people in Tampa Bay, I know there's one guy named Vincent Kennedy McMahon that's not going to be too thrilled.
Oh, he'll go to hell and burn everybody and everything down with him before he lets a WrestleMania go to waste.
What do you guys think about this, though? Like, let's say going forward, this is not contained altogether, but there are certain areas that have been cleared. Could there be a way that potentially you start seeing multiple NBA games in the same arena and they just have two or three games over the course of a day or two? And so, like, let's say, for instance, all of a sudden you have it where Dallas, Texas is fine. Do maybe the Mavericks Arena, American Airlines Center, do they host multiple games and have there just be neutral site games as opposed to New York City or San Francisco or Los Angeles or maybe more international cities won't have to deal with that? That could be on the table as well, where you might see Milwaukee have, you know, tonight we have the Cavs against the Knicks in Milwaukee, and that's just the way you're going to have to do it.
Yeah, I could maybe see something like that happening, but it's also something I definitely see the owners opposing, because they're not going to want one city or one owner or one stadium hoarding all of the revenue for the remainder of the NBA season.
Also, yeah. I think an issue with that is just any sort of travel, even on, like, you know, dedicated team planes or something like that. Like, it's not as controlled a situation as it sounds like it would be. So, like, I think if things were comfortable enough that they would want to take that step, it would have to be, you know, comfortable enough that they could just play normally. Like, I don't think there's like a half measure that they can take.
Yeah, the big issue is you might have certain states, though, like Ohio's the one I saw yesterday, and that was the first thing that came on my radar, where, you know, there were going to be 10 NCAA tournament games over the course of the first week, the first four games, and then the six first and second round games, where they were just like, in this state, we are not going to have any crowds at games. And that's a, you know, a governor that does that. So if that's the case, if, you know, the NBA doesn't have a lot of jurisdiction over a governor if he's going to make some decision, whether it's New York State, Washington State, Ohio, wherever. So that's where you guys are probably right. Just let this all play out. If we don't have a season for the next 3 months, then you don't have a season, and then you reevaluate things afterwards. On the other hand, talking about MVP race, maybe LeBron's only getting older. Giannis is still in his prime. If the MVP race has to go another few months and LeBron is going to get a few extra months healthy, but so will Giannis. I don't know how that changes things, but let's start talking some basketball. Let's move on from the coronavirus and let's discuss, you know, right now where the slate of the NBA season is. And you've had this resurgence of LeBron, a potential MVP candidate. He beat the Clippers last week in a big game. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers are currently the one seed in the Western Conference. And then you have the Eastern Conference. It's been all year Giannis, the Bucks, they're going to have the top record. They're going to make the NBA Finals. And now you're starting to see maybe not as much with him being banged up a little bit. Toronto's not going away. Boston's not going away. Miami has, you know, swept the season series against the Bucks. I don't know if they're good enough to get up close to the one seed, but they're at least a team that might compete with them. When you start breaking this down, Chris, and you start looking at things, A, as of today, who would be your MVP going into the stretch run of the season? And B, who are your top two teams or top couple teams in the Eastern and the Western Conference?
The MVP race is so tough because I would probably say give it to LeBron, but it's an award that gets passed around so much, and they give it to the hot team or the guy that takes his team out of nowhere, or the team that has the number one seed overall locked up. I mean, so much of this season has been you have to give it to Giannis because the Bucks are the one seed and he's been playing out of his mind and he's been playing great. But you look at LeBron and his, what he brings up the Lakers at the number one seed, and then this weekend that they just had where they beat the Bucks and they beat the Clippers, the supposed two biggest threats to them. They beat the Clippers in or on quote unquote the road. I mean, it was still the Staples Center, but they beat them in the Clippers' physical house. If I was going to be forced to choose, I would probably say LeBron, because I do think that he is still the league's most valuable player for this one year. I think he's been playing better than Giannis, even though the Bucks are the number one seed in the East and they have the best record. As far as the two best teams in each conference, I would have to say the Lakers and the Clippers clearly in the West, though, man, the next 5 years, Dallas is going to be extremely fun to watch. And then in the East, the Bucks, and then flip a coin between the Celtics and the Heat and the Raptors. If my money was going on any of those three teams in the playoffs to win a series, I would take the Celtics over the other two.
And then, Saul, whenever you look at this right now, you have the Lakers, you have the Clippers. Chris mentioned, and he joked about the whole quote-unquote home court advantage that happened at Staples Center Sunday. It's a Clippers home game, but there's a ton of Lakers fans. We all know. We live there. We saw and we watched the Clippers when they were actually in like their peak years, where you had Blake Griffin, you had Chris Paul, you had a team that nearly got to the Western Conference Finals and didn't get over that hump, choking against the Rockets when they were up 3-1, I believe. But now you have a Clippers team. The team's great, but we still know if they play the Lakers in a playoff series, even though the Clippers are going to have 3 or 4 quote-unquote home games, those are really going to be at best case 50-50 contest with the fans in the crowd. So what do you think whenever you look at this MVP race and the top couple teams in each conference?
Yeah, I mean, that was immediately what came to my mind when Chris said that it was like a home, or when Chris was talking about that, because like I get what you're saying, but like I watched that game and it was a Lakers home game. Like all games in LA are Lakers home games. It doesn't matter what the court says. Like it's just clear from watching it and listening to the crowd. Like,
hey guys, like, real quick, hold up. I just have Sports Center on in the background and my boy Brett Brown is talking right now. Saul, continue.
Oh my god.
Oh, on the other hand, Chris, if there's not a game for 2 months, that means Brett Brown is undefeated for a couple of months. How about that?
Another notch on his coaching belt.
Oh, my God. Seriously. But, yeah, anyway, it's always a Lakers home game in L.A. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, as far as the two best teams, Chris was right. It's the Lakers and the Clippers out west. I don't think you can really buy into any of the other teams as like serious threats in a 7-game series. You know, like there's lots of good teams. I totally agree that Dallas is awesome to watch and Luka's going to be fun to see grow and everything. And I think, you know, there's a lot of younger teams in the West that are going to keep rising. So like the future is bright for sure. But right now, like Lakers and Clippers, and it's probably not even close. Out East, I still have no faith in Milwaukee.
Me neither.
Yeah, like just no faith at all. Like they're just built to do what they're doing. Like they're going to win like however many 65 to 70 games and then lose in like conference semis, conference finals when they have to play against Boston, I think is the true best team out there.
Me too, man.
Yeah, and then I'll throw Toronto's been super impressive, but Toronto for so many years was super impressive in the regular season, and then I mean, they always lost to LeBron in the playoffs, and then he left and Kawhi or whatever. But I don't know if they're going to be going back to that thing where they're super impressive in the regular season and then just kind of crap out in the playoffs, because Kyle Lowry has proven that he cannot be trusted. So I don't know about that. I think Boston is, like, the truest contender out there. The Heat have been awesome, but I still am not totally sold on them going deep in the playoffs either. I think Jimmy's overrated still. But whatever, the Heat will probably continue to get better just with all the other pieces they have. They've got a great young team, too.
What about this, though? Imagine if Kawhi Leonard stayed with Toronto. Are they the favorite in the NBA right now? They certainly would be the favorite in the Eastern Conference, but would they be the actual, like, did Kawhi Leonard potentially leave a better team in Toronto than he currently has with the Clippers?
No. I'll go ahead and no, simple answer. I'll shortly agree with Saul there, because in reality, when you look at last year's finals, if Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, if they're both healthy and the Warriors have a full squad, I still don't think the Raptors are winning that series. They caught a massive break in the finals by dodging KD, and then ultimately losing Klay Thompson in that deciding game. So no, I do think the Raptors would be the favorite in the East if they still had Kawhi, but I think the Lakers would probably roll them.
Totally agree.
What do you think whenever you look at this Lakers team now, because all offseason or heading into it, we knew Anthony Davis, LeBron. LeBron's going to be a guy that's a facilitator, basically the point forward, and he's leading the NBA in assist. He's doing great. With this Lakers team, we know that their weakness has been three-point shooting the last couple years, or at least last year, and they had to improve upon that. Is this a team? I mean, right now on paper, yes, they seem to be the best team in the Western Conference, but is this a team that potentially could struggle in that regard come playoff time? And again, we're talking about all this, and realistically, we don't even know if there'll be a season, if there'll be a playoffs, anything else, but I still don't think the Lakers right now are a definitive step above the Clippers. I think it's pretty close between 1 and 2 in the West, and then my 1 and 2 out East. I think you have to go Milwaukee 1, but I understand the concerns. And then second right now, I'd go Celtics because Jason Tatum is starting to take that superstar step. We know Brad Stevens can coach. I think the Heat have a pretty solid nucleus, but it's hard for me to believe that they're going to win 2 rounds, beat one of those teams above them, and then get to the conference championship. So I'll agree with you guys and go Milwaukee, Boston, and the two LA teams. But I'm not so sold that the Clippers are necessarily not going to come out of the West.
Oh, I'm not sold on that at all either. I actually think the Clippers probably have a better team than the Lakers do overall. They haven't even been able to really get their chemistry together because Paul George has been in and out of the lineup so frequently this year, and Kawhi Leonard refuses to play doubleheaders. So they haven't been able to come together fully as a team. And you go back to the 90s Bulls. When you have two wing players that are essentially two top five, two top 10 players, that's the best combination to possibly have. Pippen and Jordan were both top five at their time, and they ruined the NBA for essentially 10 years. They would have won 10 straight titles had Jordan not gone and played baseball and had Krause and Reinsdorf not wanted to start from scratch. And they have that recipe with Kawhi and with Paul George, and they've built a great team around them too. So I'm certainly not saying that the Lakers are better than the Clippers. I think the series would be great. I would actually lean a little bit towards the Clippers, but every other series, the Lakers are going to put the two best players at any given moment on the court at the same time, unless they're playing the Clippers or the Bucks, because AD and LeBron are better than any two players that any team has to offer, except for those two.
And Chris, the one team you left out in the Eastern Conference, you mentioned them earlier. What about the 76ers?
Man, I mean, just imagine how much better off they'd be if they just would have listened to me and fired Brett Brown 2 years ago. You know, I mean, seriously, you know, it's sad to think about, too, because they were a fadeaway three at the buzzer from Kawhi away from going to the finals last year with the train wreck of a coach that they have. So, yeah, it's sad. I don't want to see him blow it up. I want to see him get rid of Brown and bring in a coach that can make these players play together. I mean, the coaching in the NBA is, out of all of the major sports, I would probably say baseball is the least, football is the most important, but coaching in the NBA, the number one standard that NBA coaches can be held to is player development. And that's why the Bulls have been so awful, because Lauri Markkanen has taken a back step. Everybody on that team cannot develop. Brett Brown has not developed those young players to be any better than they were when they came in as rookies.
And respect. The coach has to demand the respect
from his players. Exactly. And if you look at Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they're both good players, but have they really gotten better from where they were their first, second, or third year? No, they've stayed exactly the same. He's awful at player development. And they, like you said, they don't respect him. So he's just not a fit there. And I'd like to see them keep it together and bring in a coach who knows what he's actually doing.
And Saul, what do you think about, I think it's funny when you look at this whole dynamic this offseason, the one interesting trade in the Western Conference, well, one of many, but it was Russell Westbrook heading to Houston and then Chris Paul going up to Oklahoma City. And at this moment, now that the league suspended at the 66-game mark or 64-game mark for both teams, they have identical records. The Thunder are 40-24. The Rockets are 40-24. How impressed have you been with this Thunder team? And for the Rockets, is it just kind of what they're going to be going forward? where they pretty much got rid of everybody. They traded Capella. They're going to go absolute small ball. But I've enjoyed watching this Thunder team. The Rockets are just – they're very tough to watch.
Yeah, I'll answer that. But also, I just want to chime in about Philly real quick.
Sure.
That I don't disagree with Chris at all. Obviously, Brett Brown sucks. Obviously, player – like, everything you said was right. But even given all of that in a perfect environment, Simmons and Embiid – cannot be their best selves together. It's not possible. Embiid cannot play the same type of game that Simmons has to play to be good.
I totally understand what you're saying, and you might be right. I just don't think that you can make that definitive statement until
they
bring in a reputable coach that's known to bring teams together and get the most out of their players and excel in player development. Like, you're probably right. I just can't say that definitively.
No. I mean, you are right about that. I just think if you look at them just from, like, their fundamental skill sets and how, like, each player in a bubble
plays
could be their best selves, they are, like, the opposite of each other. And I think that's an issue with that. Anyway, back to Houston, Oklahoma City. Houston have completely lost their minds. I have no idea what they're thinking with anything that they do anymore. They've, like, fallen down this rabbit hole. They, like, got – it was, like, their thing that they were, like, all about the analytics and, like, they're going to only shoot threes and free throws and whatever. But they're, like, going way too extreme with it and, like, we're just going to screw the tradition, like, whatever. And – whatever, they're going to win games. They have some really great players. I might hate both of them, but Westbrook and Harden are really, really good basketball players. They work the system, especially Harden, you know, like, whatever. He does his thing, but that team is never going to go anywhere. Like, they're going to be a 4-5 seed, and they're going to lose to, like, actual good teams. Like, it's just – but Oklahoma City, yeah, they've been super impressive. I'm surprised they've done this well, but, like, Chris Paul is good. I might not like him either, but, like, he's good, and they have so much young talent that they got in that Paul George trade that it's not super shocking that they've done that well. It's kind of like how the Pelicans have actually done pretty well because they got so much back for Anthony Davis, and it's all these young kids that were struggling in L.A. You put them in a smaller market, take some pressure off them. Brandon Ingram becomes an all-star. Lonzo Ball can shoot again. Like, it's not super surprising you take that many good young players. At least some of them are going to get a little better and play together. And Billy Donovan's a good coach. So, I mean, it's super impressive. I'm surprised they're as good as they are. But I feel like you can't say that, like, oh, they should be terrible, terrible.
Right, yeah. If you looked at them on paper before the year, they had a pretty solid roster. You just wondered how they would gel, how they would coexist. And then the caveat always is when you're in the Western Conference, sometimes you can gel 20 games in and your season's already over because of how tough that conference is. Mm-hmm. Is there any case to be made, by the way, for Zion Rookie of the Year? I don't see it.
No, he
missed too many games to start the season. I mean, he's been playing out of this world. And that is – I just wanted to say real quick, that's another major bummer about this NBA season possibly coming to an end is seeing
15 games of Zion.
Yeah. And then seeing that team possibly sneak into the A seed and then play the Lakers in the first round. Like, that would just be such an awesome first round series.
Even seeing Ja play the Lakers in the first round would have been.
Yeah, we might not get to see it, which blows. And then real quick to piggyback on what you were saying about the Rockets. To me, the definition of the Rockets is this: on any given night, that team on one given night could beat any team in the entire NBA if they're firing on all cylinders. The only problem is they're only going to play that way one or two games out of an entire seven-game series, so they're going to lose the majority of the time.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Also, I think, Kent, you mentioned earlier that with the Lakers, you know, they had some issues with three-point shooting and, like, some things that we look for as, like, you know, metrics of if a team is good or not. I think one thing that the Lakers have really, really done well is they are, like, in a half court defense, they are terrifying, like, defensively in the half court. They are so long and so athletic. Dwight Howard has finally, like, let his ego go and been like, I'm just going to be my best self in whatever limited time I get. And he is killing it. Like, it's kind of freaky. And, like, they've done other things to sort of make up for their deficiencies, because they do have deficiencies. I mean, I think Kuzma would have to be a lot better for them to win. Like, they need more from him. And, like, they need, you know, Bradley Pope and Danny Green to all be, you know, in sync or whatever. But, like, they make up for it in other ways that's, like, actually kind of impressive and surprising in some ways.
Yeah, and they're a hungry team, I think, for the Lakers a lot. You know, LeBron last year was almost like a laughing stock, and then the stuff came out in the offseason about, you know, general managers and Magic Johnson and all this other stuff. And, you know, people were making fun of the Lakers pretty much for the first, 14 months that LeBron was on that team. So now the fact that they've turned it around, they have a pretty good nucleus, it's a different vibe of a team. But I want to say, let's change to our final topic here and kind of have fun with this. I know, Saul, you started this the other day by saying, after watching the Lakers-Clippers game, you had a player, I'm not going to mention him now because you can mention him in a moment, that you said was the most annoying player, or just very annoying compared to other guys. And it made me start to think, who are the most annoying players in the NBA, whether they're current, maybe whether they're past? Draymond Green gets a lot of heat. I think he's up there. My choice right now, though, I got to go James Harden. He's annoying. He's, you know, always flailing, always complaining, always bitching. He gets his 35 points, but it also feels like it's a very inefficient, annoying way to score points. I almost hope with this coronavirus that they force him, like something happens where he has to shave his beard and mustache, and he has to come back this like fresh-faced guy after the break, just to see, like, you know, hey, that's a different James Harden, because he's like, he's such a character. He's one of those guys like you see in a movie and you're like, yeah, that guy would probably get elbowed for sure if he played in reality, and yet he seems to skate away from it. So Harden would be my pick. Saul, who's the one that you mentioned on our text message saying that this guy annoys you more than anyone else?
All right. Well, before I mention him, I'll just say that in general, my blanket answer to this question is generally James Harden also. Yeah. I just
mine
wanted
as
to
well
like,
before
put
an
that
easy
out
answer.
There.
Too,
but that's why I threw Draymond as my alternative.
He's yeah, like, and I'm loving the Draymond and Charles Barkley beef. Like, I'm totally on board with it. I love Charles for everything that he's been saying. Like,
the in-sync analogy.
Yeah, and it's amazing. True. It's so true. But, okay, so yeah, so my guy that I had to pick on was frickin' Patrick Beverley. I mean, this guy just won't shut up. And it's after games, it's during games, whatever. And yes, sometimes he has, like, gotten in people's heads a little, and he's an irritant, he's a really good defensive player. But he, like, talks so much, and people talk about him, like, getting in their heads, and I think he, like, bought into it too much to where now he's not actually that effective most of the time. Like, he's still a above average defender, but after that game, which the Clippers lost, and they were asking him about guarding LeBron, and he was like, it's easy, I don't even think of that as a challenge. It's like, bitch, you just lost to him. Like, how can you even, like, you aren't playing mind games
Sit
with
down,
anybody
bitch.
Like, yeah, like he isn't playing mind games with anybody anymore. Like, nobody's like, oh, you're in LeBron's head now. Like, no, LeBron thinks you're like this insignificant little bug. Like, he doesn't even like register that you exist.
You're
like
nothing to him.
It just bothers me because he's like buying into like the 2 seconds of hype that he got, you know. Like, I don't know, I just can't stand him. The dude needs to shut up. Like, that's,
yeah, I was also saying he's very much playing that like WWE style heel, but like you said, it's almost like he had his 10 years where he was that way.
Yeah,
now it's time that it's over with.
It ran its course. Yeah, it ran its course. Like, we get it. You're that guy. It's cool. But, like, you're actually not anymore. Like, just get over yourself a little bit at this point. Anyway, that's my rant.
And, Chris, who's your guy? Who are you going with for most
of all right, so let me get off on a little bit of a tangent here. You know who really grinds my gears? And this first started maybe a decade or so ago. And we all live in America here, and especially towards NBA basketball players, we are gifted the opportunity to play basketball for a living and make millions and millions of dollars because we live in America and because it's a free country. And this player, Dwayne Wade, years back said that he did not want to and would not play for the U.S. Olympic team unless he was paid. You have made your entire living because of the United States of America, and you're not going to go support your country unless you're paid? Are you kidding me? That's a joke.
I'm going to have to add some patriotic music behind this, by the way.
Yeah, right. Add like Hulk Hogan's theme or something like that. But you're going to come out and you're going to say you don't want to play for your country, and you're not going to play for your country unless you're paid. That to me is a joke. Your country has already paid you millions and millions of dollars by gifting you this opportunity to make that money in the NBA. Second of all, so he did, though, didn't he?
He still played.
He did.
He ended up playing.
He did end up playing, but he said that over and over again, and it made me just upset. Like, are you kidding me? Like, and you guys know me. Like, I'm not some hoo-ha, rah-rah America guy. Like, I love my country, but I don't go around touting that shit like crazy, you know?
Right.
That really rubbed me the wrong way, and I've always kind of just, the way that he talks, he comes off as very selfish and very self-centered and self-involved. And then when Kobe died, and this might be a little shallow shot, I've brought it up to you guys a bunch, but, you know, he posted this insanely fake Instagram video where he's zoomed up in on his face and he's acting like he's crying. And I'm an actor and I took years of acting classes. And this guy doesn't have a single real tear come out of his eyes. He's sniffling. He's got the tissue. And I'm just looking at his eyes to see if there's any water or anything coming out of it. And there isn't a single real tear, but he's acting like he's crying. And that, it's like, you're doing this just for attention. Like, sure, you were probably friends with Kobe and you guys were close, but you're doing this to bring attention onto yourself, as we're seeing other incredible and amazing tributes going on towards Kobe, who all three of us loved as a player, loved as a person, you know. And that really just completely ripped me up too. And I constantly brought that up to you guys and I wouldn't get a response because I knew you guys were like, what? but that really made me mad. And then this thing yesterday that Saul, you told me about, I had to go look it up, with his son in Sierra Canyon. And it's like, he is not going to support or watch his son's basketball games anymore because he doesn't get enough minutes on the team. So that's the message that you're sending to your son, is that you are bigger than the team and you are not going to support the entire team because your son isn't getting enough minutes on a team that is surrounded by high school All-Americans. I think Bronny Jr. plays for the team. You know, it's like,
yeah, he's not their top, and believe me, he's not their top guy either. It's Zaire Williams who made the game-winning bucket last night. Yeah, even Bronny,
Bronny's a freshman. Zaire's a senior. There's a little bit of a difference there.
But what I'm saying is LeBron's son is taking a back seat.
Correct.
It's not like other star sons aren't. Like, believe me, that should kind of tell, hey, D-Wade, like, there's other kids, too, that maybe aren't getting the shine either.
And he came out and said
that
he's, yes, they're all Americans, five-star recruits, and he came out and said he's not going to support the team or watch the team games that his son plays on. That's the message that you're sending to your son. Are you kidding me? And then last but not least, I mean, this goes back to, like, you know, what LeBron has done with the schools that he's done and giving back to the city. And we can all hate on LeBron for the type of basketball player that he is, crying and flopping. But that man does a lot for giving back, for giving to the inner cities and trying to make America a better place. Okay. Dwayne Wade is from Chicago. Not once has he worked for Boys and Girls Clubs, which are now out of business. They're not around, but he hasn't done anything for the inner city. Instead, he chooses to donate his money to the Catholic Church, which is known for, you know, raping kids and shit like that. Like, he doesn't do anything to support the city. He gives money to the Catholic Church. He won't play. He refuses to play the Olympics unless he gets paid, but he'll dump tons of money to the Catholic Church. And the guy is just, that's the definition of appeasing your guilty conscience, trying to give money to a church. End rant. I don't like Dwayne Wade. Have it since then. Good day. Good night.
I think we just had to cut Chris's mic.
That's fair. I think he was getting a little out of control.
I mean, not that the Catholic Church, he brings up some good points.
I know, it's hard to argue with him when he's being, like, logical, but...
Yeah, and the stuff I'm going to have to remove about what he said about 2 minutes ago. No, I'm kidding, he didn't say anything that bad. But nonetheless, here, I'm going to bring Chris back. I'm going to see if I can unmute him now. Let's see, Chris, are you there? Maybe he hung up, he might have hung up. Well, maybe next time we do a show... Maybe Chris is back. Maybe he's not back. I guess we'll have to see. But we're going to do it. It's Kent Tavious, Deshaun Dre Brown from LA.
Did you guys lose me? I'm sorry. I might have hit something.
Oh, he is back. Oh, my God.
I just noticed that I was on mute. My bad. I got a little muted. And I'm muted.
Well, yeah. I don't quite know what happened there. But I guess you'll have to listen to the podcast and find out. But, guys, that's going to do it. It's been a weird episode. It's been a coronavirus. We'll have to see. When this thing either ends or the league at least has some sort of agreement on when they're coming back, we'll come back. In the meantime, Saul, Chris is going to be about 30 to 40 mock drafts deep by the time we probably do another podcast. It might be 400 mock drafts. I don't know, depending on how long this lasts. So we have to get ready for this fall because we're all going to be in a fantasy league together for the first time this fall, which should be pretty fun. I know you guys have done a league together for a couple years, but I'm going to join the fray and join in with you guys. And maybe, as we said, maybe the NBA season will go right into NFL. Cut the preseason out. We'll watch the NBA Finals. We'll watch the Stanley Cup Finals. And then it's on the college football and NFL. So maybe that's where we're headed with all this. But it's been a fun Triple Threat podcast, guys. It's great having you back. Final words. I'll give you one, Chris, but we'll see. You're on thin water here. But final words here on this podcast.
Yeah, you know, just the last couple months with the NBA, my final words are, you know, losing Kobe is such a massive loss to the NBA. And I had an up and down relationship with Kobe the entire time that he played. I did not like him at all. Then I really liked him. Then I didn't like him again. But a celebrity death really never affected me the way the Kobe's did. I was like legitimately depressed about that for a couple weeks, and it was really sad. And I would watch these things and I'd start to cry, and I'd just start thinking about some amazing Kobe memories. And I just wanted to bring out one great Kobe memory that I had real quick before we called it a night. And it was 2006. I was in college at SIU and I was watching the first round series between the Lakers and the Suns. And this was really when I became a Kobe Bryant fan, was after this game. I believe it was game four. He came down and he hit the game tying shot to send the game into overtime. And then game's still back and forth. And overtime comes to a winding close and Kobe's got the ball. Walks down the court, calmly goes up, pulls up corner the free throw line, and just drills a shot at the buzzer to win the game, playoff game at the buzzer, and just runs down the court. Teammates are mobbing him, and that's my most fond Kobe memory, because that was really the time that I became a fan of his. I saw that killer instinct and that he'd finally become the player that everybody wanted him to be outside of the Shaq Kobe Lakers.
Yeah, and I think for all three of us, none of us were big, like we weren't Lakers fans, but you have to respect somebody that's that talented and also over-succeeds. Let's be real, Kobe had great talent. He had superb talent, but he didn't have LeBron James-level talent. He didn't have, you know, Anthony Davis-level talent in theory, but he worked harder than just about everybody who was out on the court at any time. Like, if you could have given Shaq Kobe's work ethic, Shaq would frankly be the most dominant player in NBA history.
Correct.
I don't think there's any question about that.
Right.
So Saul, I'll throw it to you here. Final words, and if you want to go the Kobe route, that's fine, because obviously we haven't done a podcast since that happened, and we didn't want to spend all show on it. But yeah, if you have a Kobe memory or something about that, by all means, right now is the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I told you guys this too when it all happened, and I was the same way, and you know, my lovely wife, Shelly, is such a huge Laker fan. Her number was always 8 for Kobe, and she, you know, she was crying on and off for like 2 weeks, you know, just like this. And it was the same for me, where both of us were talking, like what you said, Chris, where, you know, celebrity deaths happen, and sometimes, you know, if you're a fan of them, you know, it sucks or whatever. But yeah, it was weird how it hit. Like, it was it was different. And I don't know if it was the circumstances.
And also, it's not just him, but it's also the fact that there's, you know, a daughter, other children, other families. This wasn't, I mean, not that it makes it better or worse, but in theory, it wasn't just him isolated. You know, he wasn't in his car by himself and something tragic happened. This involves, you know, children and families as well.
Right.
It's, you know, it's definitely so much more heartbreaking when you hear things like that.
Right. It like hits home more. But yeah, same over in our household, where it was just kind of just shockingly devastating. But I mean, my like most favorite Kobe memories, I was sort of the same as you, Chris, where I was sort of up and down with him over the years. You know, I went from hating him to being like, ah, he's a good dude. And you know, whatever. You always got to appreciate the talent. But I mean, one thing that I'm so happy that I got to do was me and Shelly got to go to his jersey's retirement game. I say retirement because that's crazy. But we got to go there. I mean, at halftime, they aired his Dear Basketballs. Got to see that for the first time. And then he spoke. And then we were actually, like, in the upper bowl right next to sort of where the jerseys were hanging. And, like, when I got the tickets, I was like, ah, they'll be horrible seats, but whatever, we'll be in there. I didn't realize that we were right next to the jerseys. So it was cool just being, you know, one section over from when they were like unveiling them. So that, I was just really glad that we got to go to that. That was such a cool moment to be able to witness. And we got, they gave everybody two jerseys, an 8 and a 24, you know, just cheap ones or whatever, but they gave everybody those walking in. So the King's first home game after he died, we went to and wore those jerseys. Only time I'll ever wear Lakers gear, but I was proud to do it. And it was great going to that game and seeing the tributes and all that stuff. And it was a nice moment.
Yeah. And then the one thing I'll say about that day that, you know, and even today, you know, I misread or misheard on, you know, on Twitter, on social media about the Rudy Gobert and even where he was. That day was so weird because there were so many news reports coming out. You didn't know if it was Kobe by himself, if it was Kobe and his family.
Rick Fox.
At some point, it was Rick Fox, all of his kids. I was, you know, at a golf tournament down in San Diego, and I'm like at a tournament, but I'm also checking some things, and I thought it was just originally just him, and then it was all the family. And I'd say, in all honesty, that this is something that you hope changes, but it doesn't look like it will when it comes to getting the news out first. It's better to wait, get the facts straight, and then come out with the news, as opposed to now we're hearing somebody has to be first to the finish line every time. And because of that, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of information that, you know, people, you know, family members, Rick Fox even said he put away his phone because, you know, a friend of his just died. And next thing you know, people thought he died. I would just say, hopefully in the future, even with this coronavirus stuff, any celebrity death, all that stuff, let's try to get the facts straight first, and then we can see where the story leads. But sadly, I don't think we're headed there. And that day was very weird because I didn't really know what happened until much later in the day, because all the news stories were so conflicting from one story to another. And it was a very bizarre day for sure.
Hey, Kent, so you were the one that texted Saul and I the news that day before it was on the news physically on the TV. Before it was even really on the web, if you searched it, you sent it to us right away. And Saul, his response was, oh, my God, that's terrible. And I didn't know what was going on. I was literally leaving for work when you texted me. And I work at a bar. All right.
Yeah.
And I get to the bar, and this is just a surreal moment. So I get to the bar, and the bar is packed beyond belief. Nobody knows what's happened yet. And I walk in, and I see one of my buddies, Bill, there, who – I'm in a fantasy league with, and I go up to him like, hey, dude, I think Kobe Bryant just died. And he just laughed at me. He's like, "That's get out of here. That's fake news, you know. And
which is what I said, the first right. thing I said when Kent texted us. I was like, that's not real, is it?
Right.
Yeah, and so it appeared that it was, but it's like, how do we know?
Right. So about 15 minutes pass, and all of a sudden every single TV in the bar, and I work at a sports bar, so every single TV in the bar changes. Breaking news, Kobe Bryant dead. And I shit you not when I tell you that the bar was packed and it was loud. And when that news came across the screen, you could hear a pin drop. The entire bar went from being loud and raucous to completely silent. It was just one of the craziest moments I've ever had in my life, where it was just like, holy shit, everybody just realized the magnitude of this death. You know, it was just, it was completely surreal. And it still gives me chills, like thinking about that day and getting the information from you. It was just crazy.
Well, yeah, it's been a weird time. It's a weird day, you know, whether, and also this kind of puts things in perspective as we wrap up this podcast, where as much as you, you know, all of us, especially us three, we do a podcast talking about basketball, and most of the conversations, the friendships we built were watching games together, hanging out at the sports bar. Like, at the end of the day, it's just a game.
Right.
Life goes on. There's bigger stuff happening. And you look at a guy like Kobe Bryant, he transcended sports in that everybody knew who he was. But hopefully, when you think about him, you think of the good memories. But it's just been a weird year in that regard. Obviously, we miss you, Kobe. Rest in peace. And for the rest of this season, we hope the league and every league, college, pro, high school, you name it, everybody is safe with this, making sure that things get done the right way. And then when sport come back, they come back. If we have to take some time away from it, I think we'll be all right. At least that's kind of my final words here. So signing off from the Triple Threat Podcast, this has been Kentavious DeShawn Dre Brown, Chris Cozina, Saul Armoa Dell. Have a good one.